Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, to look ahead at the very best TV and film coming our way over the next 7 days, it is The Watchlist. And I'm joined this week by Irish Times film critic Donal Clark and host of the Bellissimo Files, Serena Bellissimo.
Hello.
Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Donal, let's start with the big movie of the week, One Battle After Another. Leonardo DiCaprio is a star here. What kind of world are we entering into here?
We're in a distorted version of contemporary America, which is a distorted place to be already. An adaptation, well, not an adaptation, a film inspired by Thomas Pynchon's great 1990 novel, Vineland, excuse me, from the American director Paul Thomas Anderson. This is in many cinephiles, was in many cinephiles diaries, the most anticipated film of this year, I would suggest. People who love Thomas Anderson are more than acolytes. I mean, they are absolutely devoted to him.
Fans.
And you, seeing the reviews that have come out of this over the last week, I mean, you could be forgiven for thinking that people believe it to be genuinely the best film ever made.
Of all time.
It's not quite that, but it is terrific. DiCaprio is a former left-wing activist, freedom fighter, whatever euphemism you want to use, dynamiter, who 17 years later is living with his daughter in a quiet part of northwestern, western United States, when his arch enemy Sean Penn, as a sinister, messianic representative of the American government, turns up to hunt him down. What you get with Paul Thomas Anderson, and have always got, is a kind of sort of ballet of noise and clatter that only he can do. I mean, you find with Warner Brothers here, I think they've got what they believe to be a successor to Stanley Kubrick, which is something that you really shouldn't be looking for, because each of those filmmakers is an individual in his own right, and no one succeeds from the other. But I think that this...
Will it also be a big successor to the run of hits that Warner Brothers have had? Sinners, F1, Superman?
That's an interesting question, yes. I mean, Warners have demonstrated over this summer that there is, or they have... We hope they've demonstrated over that summer that there is future in theatrical exhibition. They've had huge hits with, as you say, Sinners, The Final Destination, sequel F1, Superman, Weapons, all films. None films people were convinced were going to be hits, and they've all been huge hits. And we're in a position now where this is the kind of film that 15, 20 years ago would have been an enormous hit. It's got static reviews, it's got a movie star in it in Leonardo DiCaprio, it's got a proven director, it's going to have huge Oscar potential, but I don't think it can possibly make back its money. It's cost $130 million. It's not going to make the kind of money that Sinners made, it's not going to make the kind of money that Superman made, certainly, and it'll have to make $130 million plus another 100 or so, probably more, to cover publicity and so forth. So I think what we're looking at as far as Warner's concerned is probably a prestige exercise. It's something that they hope, and they're probably right, will go on to get plenty of Oscar nominations.
A costly prestige enterprise. Serena, you've been to see an Irish film, Sunflowers with a PH, not an F.
Yes, so this is a gorgeous film. What I love about this, when you get indie cinema, you're not going to get a reboot, you're not going to get a remake, you're going to get something original, and that's what we have in this gorgeous Irish film. As you said, it's PH. It's because Catherine, who is the star of this film, she's a middle-aged widow who takes up art class on the advice of a friend, and she's painting sunflowers, and she's like, it'd be really bad to call this sunflowers. So the art teacher, who's played by Jerry Fish, goes, what if you do a PH? But it's not just about the art. It's about this middle-aged woman who is a mother of three. Her husband dies, and when he dies, there's always grief attached to that. But what happens when you find out that there's secrets as well? And she's dealing with all of that. She's also dealing with the fact that she's trying to figure out who she is as well in the wake of his death.
And Patrick Bergen's in this.
Yeah. And he's really good in this. I have to say, if this was made by an American company, I think what would happen is it would either have been tied up with a pretty bow at the end, or it would have been dark and gloomy. Because this is Irish, it's a bit of everything. You've got, like, it's about community, connection. It's sad. It is gloomy in bits, but it's also quite hopeful. And I just think this is a gorgeous film that we need in our cinemas again. It's something that you could go out on a date night, on a friend movie excursion to, and it's only, as opposed to One Battle After Another, that goes for 2 hours and 40 minutes. This goes for 81 minutes.
Okay, that is very, very good. Yeah. Donald, staying with film, The Lost Bus, I'm going to guess that this is not a documentary about a woman in swords struggling to get to work in time after a series of ghost buses.
No, it has a documentary feel to it, mind you, because it is by Paul Greengrass, who came up through news filmmaking, and people know him from the Bourne films and from United 93. And he does actually have a documentary feel to his filmmaking. He flings the camera about like the, as if the cameramen are catching up with action they didn't know was going to happen. This is a cracking disaster movie in the old school, the 1970s.
With Matthew McConaughey
and America Ferrera, treatment of the deadliest brush fire in Californian history. It was a 2018 campfire in the northern part of California. Now, it is. I will say one thing about it. It does have a great deal of unnecessary backstory. The plot essentially is, there's a fire and there's a bus, and the bus is carrying a bunch of school children. And
Matthew
McConaughey, the driver, and America Ferrera, the teacher, I've got to get them out of the fire. Yeah. Will they not survive? Will all the children die? A lot to work out for yourself what happens in the end in that regard. But that's really, I think, all you need. But they have cluttered up a bit with Matthew McConaughey's got a problem with his mother who's not well, and he's like fallen out with his teenage son. I should say, the son is played by his own son, mother is played by his own mother, by McConaughey's own mother and son. So that's kind of nice. But, you know, you feel like, oh no, this is something that sat down and thought, we need backstory, we need some kind of emotional baggage to put in our characters. And in fact, you don't care.
And maybe
get back to the fire.
What about Unrequited Love, Serena, kind of that big theme. Is that what All of You is about?
All of You is interesting. It is. It's about, basically, there's a test out there. This is called a sci-fi movie, and it almost put me off because it's called a sci-fi movie. The only sci-fi about it is that there's this test that will tell you who your soulmate is. There's two best friends. One's played by Brett Goldstein. The other one's played by Imogen Poots. Imogen Poots' Laura decides to take the test, and it is not her best friend Simon. So it's all about their friendship. Are they meant to be together romantically or not? And it just follows, as you said, unrequited love. Apparently, though, and I missed this, there was a show made by Brett Goldstein as well that was called Soulmates. It starred Sarah Snooks. And this seems to be just let's do a 90-minute film about this. It's sweet. It's great to see Brett Goldstein a bit softer. If you're wondering where you know the name from, he was Roy Kent in Ted Lasso. Yeah. So you see a different side to him. It's just a sweet romantic film.
And it's streaming on Apple TV. Two TV, I think we already flagged this last week, Donald, but Alan Partridge is back on our screens this Friday.
He is. How are you? It's Alan Partridge. It's an extraordinary figure. I put a column on this in the Irish Times this weekend, which you can read online now, I think. There's really nobody else in culture who has managed to survive so long and go through so many incarnations. The only thing comparison I could come up with is Dame Edna Everidge. But even Dame Edna Everidge, brilliant though she was, didn't actually shift in character the way her Partridge has done over the last 40 years. He's a kind of a different man to the man he was when he emerged 40 years ago, 30 years, 35 years ago on BBC Radio 4.
But is that due to his
4.
Success of being able to expand the personality? Some of those other personalities, and
match him to the times. And obviously, he had a great, you know, Annis Mirabalis a few years ago with his Irish doppelganger, Martin Brennan, pops up on their version of Martin Brennan, their version of The One Show. I actually didn't think that series was his best. I didn't think... that moment aside, which was tremendous, I didn't think that series was the best Partridge. But I'm looking forward to this, which from the trailer suggests is having a bit of a crack at the current fashionable notion of male stars of a certain age dealing with mental health, which is often defined rather vague, a very important issue. I'm not making fun of that, I hasten to add, but is often treated in rather vague fashion by these people who are emerging from obscurity to do documentaries
and it's on
minor channels.
BBC One this Friday at 9:30. Yeah. How are you? It's Alan Partridge. Serena, to fill the gaping hole left in our lives by Traitors Ireland, tonight sees a new drama on RTE adapted from two Marion Keyes novels. The Walsh sisters, who are they?
Yeah, the Walsh sisters. A lot of people will already know who they are. If you're a fan of Marion Keyes,
you will know who they are.
I have not read any Marion Keyes, so I was worried going into this because I thought you'd have to know. It's based on Rachel's Holiday and anybody out there, the Walsh sisters, the five sisters, they're all going through something. So what's happened is if you've read these books, they're all set at different times.
And also people will be hugely excited about the prospect, particularly Marion Keyes fans, of seeing these characters brought to life on the screen.
In the same timeline as well. So they're all going through different things. Rachel's addiction is what kicks off everything. Like, she's spiralled out of control. Then it has a knock-on effect on the sisters. Everyone's doing something, like Claire struggling to figure out what her role is. Maggie's trying to start a family. Helen is hiding battles. I love this. I've seen one episode. That's all I was given. And I absolutely love it. It will fill that gap of The Traitors. Dublin looks beautiful on screen. Okay. Aidan Quinn plays the daddy in this. So it's just, it's a great drama. Six episodes. It drops tonight, 9:30 RTE1. But it's also, if you do miss it, it's going to be available on the
Excellent
player.
Excellent stuff. Donald, for the uninitiated who do not know what Richard Osman's House of Games is, what is it, and are you a fan?
A huge fan. I think everyone now knows who Richard Osman is. A very strange celebrity career. Began sitting beside Alexander Armstrong on Pointless and ended up being a celebrity in his own right and a huge best-selling novelist. I love House of Games. You probably had a cult a few minutes here and there across, flicking across the channels, a variety of different games to test quizzing abilities in different ways. In rhyme time, you get two answers that rhyme. And I'm terrible at dating. They ask the contestants to identify the dates of historic events. One thing I would say is it does drive me insane because you have, it's celebrity contestants, the five on for the whole week. If it's a week when no one knows anything, I really do risk giving myself an attack, yelling at the screen. And in fact, there have been several weeks we've had to decide, I'm not watching the rest of this week. Okay. They get to, where is Kazakhstan? And nobody can find France on a map. I'm going to literally, an actual fit.
For your own health reasons, you have to step
exactly.
aside. You have to step aside from it. Serena, we had a Barrow entry earlier in his Steelers outfit, but just in time for today's big NFL game, you have picked out a drama set in the world of American football.
This is fun. It's a drama. It's a comedy. It stars and is co-created by Glenn Powell. It's called Chad Powers. He, 8 years ago, something really bad happened on the field. He really blew up his career. He has decided, you know what? There's college tryouts. I'm going to go back and I'm going to try out for college football, but not as Russell. I'll go as Chad Powers. And it's all about he's in disguise. And it's all about, will he, won't he be found out? But it's more than that. It's about relationships. It's about him trying to prove himself to himself and his dad, and it's just fun. It's six episodes of fun, 30 minutes each.
It premieres on
Tuesday, and in Disney fashion, they're dropping two on Tuesday, and then they will release every week after that. So the other four will be
released.
Would
it leave you looking for more?
Sorry?
Would it leave you looking for
more?
Yeah,
and unfortunately, the only thing I will say is episode six, it just ends, and I'm just like, tell me there's another season, because it can't just end like that.
How timely you should say that, because we also have to just end, because I'm afraid that is all that we have time for today. You can listen back to all of the conversations from today's show on the RTÉ Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's show was produced by the series producer Tessa Delahanty. Research was by AB Fulton Bowman. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator, and Mark McGrath was in sound. Stay tuned for this week with Justin McCarthy after this.